Bible text together, and we'll be reading this morning out of the book of Luke's Gospel in chapter number 15, Luke and chapter number 15. If you'd like to be turning in your Bibles there, we'll be reading our text, taking out a text from that passage of Scripture this morning in Luke number 15. And I want to begin reading in verse number 1, and Lord willing, we'll read the first 7 verses together this morning. Luke's Gospel in chapter number 15, and in verse number 1, the Bible said, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." I'm glad I'm a sinner. The sinners drew nigh to hear him. But the Pharisees looked at it in a completely different perspective. The Bible said, "And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Now let's look to the Lord in just a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your help this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the text that you've laid upon our heart. I pray that you will make it a blessing to your people, that you'll lay it upon the hearts of those that may be here and under the sound of my voice or by the radio that's never been born again. I pray you'll lay it upon their heart and deep conviction and turn them from their sin, that they might be saved by the grace of God. Help me, Lord, to preach the gospel in a simple way. Just lay it out there simple, Lord, where people can understand it, believe it, and live a wonderful life for the glory and honor of God. May your power rest upon us this morning. May the Spirit of God speak to every heart and do a work of grace in those that are sick and those that are away from us that way. Help them, I pray, and bless your people that are here this morning. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to preach for a while this morning on the thought of my sheep. I'm the sheep, brother. I am the sheep, or I'm the lamb that went astray. I'm the lamb. I'm the one. They sang that song, I'm the lamb that the shepherd left the flock for. And that's what I'm preaching on this morning, Lord, being my helper out of this text, that I am that lamb that the shepherd left the flock for. Now, this is in chapter number 15, the verses I read, is the beginning of one story. There is 3 parables and 1 story. There's a parable that I just read, the parable of the lost sheep. And then following that, there's a parable of the lost corn or the lost silver. And then the final story, of course, is that of the lost son that is brought up out of the far country and back to the father's house, and is saved by the marvelous grace of God. But I want to preach this morning out of that very first parable, if I may, for just a few minutes in your hearing, and I will not be long. But you notice it starts out, as I mentioned a moment ago, with the publicans and the sinners coming to Christ. And that's such a wonderful thought when you stop and think about it, that he does not resist sinners. That sinners can come to Christ, as these did, and will come to Christ. Having come to him, the Lord will save them, forgive them of their sin. But on the other hand, here is a self-righteous, religious Pharisee. And that's what a Pharisee is a self-righteous individual that has the idea that by his own righteousness, he will merit God's favor. And in doing so, the pearly gates will swing open wide and he'll enter into heaven. But it's not that way. You've got to come to Christ as a sinner. And by the way, a sinner is someone that has transgressed the law of God. Amen. They've been disobedient to God's word. They've stepped over the line. And by the way, We all have. You can't get out of it. We're out of Adam's loins. Eve was deceived, but Adam, with his eyes wide open, stepped out into sin. That makes us sinners by nature and by choice. And all that's born out of Adam's loins are sinners. But I'm glad that the Lord made a way that we could come to Him and find forgiveness of sin, be saved by the grace of God. But the Pharisees, they're not that way. They begin to murmur. When they saw these sinners coming to the Lord, they begin to murmur and to complain. They even made a statement, said, "Why, he even eats with them. He sits down and eats with them." Well, you know, he is a friend of sinners. And I won't say I'm glad of that. Had he not been a friend of sinners, you and I would yet be in our sin, and we'd be on that broad way that leads to destruction. And the Bible said, "There's many there be that go in thereat." But there's a straight and a narrow way. The Bible said, "And there be few that find it." And I'm a Bible believer. I believe that. I don't think there's going to be, in comparison with the people that's been born into this world over the years, I don't believe there's going to be that many in heaven. I believe many of them are on that broad way. They're going to spend eternity in hell. But you know, in our story, there's 100 sheep in that fold. And the Bible said that one of those sheep went astray. And the shepherd was so wonderful that he left the 99 there in the wilderness and went out in search, began to seek for that one little sheep that had gone astray. And when he found him, I'm glad he found him, thank God. He said when he found him, he laid him on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he brought that sheep home, he called his friends and his neighbors. And he said, "Rejoice with me." For he said, "I found my sheep that was lost." And you know, there is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. Boy, if we could ever get a hold of that down here, it would change us. It changed us completely. To realize that there is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that gets saved more than there is 99 just people. And if I'm just a firm believer that if there's rejoicing in heaven, then there ought to be rejoicing on earth as well. In fact, the Lord told his neighbors, "You rejoice with me." And I'm going to tell you something. When you get heaven rejoicing and earth rejoicing, it's kind of like it was at the Lord's birth. The angels begin to sing, and the people, the shepherds begin to sing, and they had a camp meeting right there around the Bethlehem when the Lord was born. And I'm going to tell you, if you get heaven singing like the bridegroom singing, and if you can get earth singing, that is the bride of Christ singing, things will pick up in the house of God. Amen. But I'm glad that he went after that one little sheep. And you know, the same as I do, that you can say the same as me. You're that little sheep that the shepherd left the flock for. You're that one little lamb that he went out to find. I want to say some things about that lamb this morning. Very simple. I'm putting the cookies out there simple this morning that anybody in here can understand them. Very simple. I'm a pretty simple preacher anyway. But I want to begin by simply saying that that lamb was lost. There's not a question about it. He was lost. You know, there's a problem in getting people lost today. They really don't want to see themselves as a sinner and see themselves as a sinner lost. In fact, it mentions in verse 4, and it mentions there in verse 4 twice, and in verse number 6 also, that this little old lamb was lost. Now, that's got some things to say within itself. If he was lost, and this is deep now, but get a hold of it. If he was lost, he didn't know where he was. And I'm going to tell you, there's people today that are lost and without God. Now get this now. They don't know where they are in life. I'm talking about in life itself. They have no earthly idea. A lost person is blinded by the power of Satan. They're living in darkness. They're abiding in death. And they're wandering around in this world. They have no earthly idea where they are in this life. But the Bible said, Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." Now I'm going to tell you, when Christ gives you a life and saves you, you'll not be wandering in sin any longer. You'll not be lost any longer. You'll be cradled in the arms of Christ, laying on His shoulder on the way back home. No longer lost, but found by the grace of Almighty God. And so, he didn't know where he was. Have you ever been lost? You can be driving around in a city and think you know where you are, but you're still lost. I mean, the first time I went to Monterey, I got in Monterey, Old Mexico, and I'm telling you, you're talking about a frustrated man. I was driving up and down the streets. Now, I knew I was in Monterey, and I knew where I wanted to go, but I had a problem. I didn't know how to get to where I wanted to go. So in that, I knew I was in Monterey, but I was still lost. Even though I was there, I didn't know where I didn't know how to get to where I wanted to go. So that made me still lost. And that's kind of like my second point. He did not know how to get to where he wanted to go. And friends, I'm telling you, sinners don't know how to get to where they want to go. Oh, they'll try to get there by good works. Now, I'm telling you, that good works will fail them. They'll try to get there by joining the church. That's going to fail them. You can join all the churches in the world, and you're not going to get saved. They try to get there by being baptized. I'm going to say, you can be baptized and still be lost. You're not going to get to heaven by your works or by joining the church or by baptism. There's only one way to get to heaven, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to go through Him. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Me. And so, this little lamb was lost. He did not know where he was in life. He did not know how to get to where he was going. And I can say that by the story in John 14 and the story about Thomas when Jesus told him that he was going away. And he said, you know where I'm going and the way you know. But Thomas made this statement. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? He was an honest man. He said, Lord, I don't know the way. I don't know the way. But Jesus looked at him and said, Thomas, I am the way. Now I'm telling you, Jesus is the way. I'm glad, thank God, that He is the way into eternal life and to the Father's house. And by the way, He is the way to go home. That little sheep made his way home. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but brother, I'm going to tell you, this world is not our home. We're passing through. Our home is in heaven, in that terrestrial city that we call heaven, in the presence of God. And Jesus is the only person in all the world that knows how to get there. And I'm going to tell you why. Because He's the only person that's ever been in this world that was there and came here and went back. So He knows how to get here and He knows how to get back. And if He knew how to get here and knows how to go back, He knows how to take us back. And when He gets there, He will take us back to our home in heaven. Thank His, bless His wonderful name for what He's done. I'm going to say also thirdly, had that little lamb been left to himself, he had forever been lost. That little lamb couldn't find his way. He had, and I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but he had strayed from the fold. And how to get back to it, he knew not how. And if he had been left to himself, he had never found his way. Now I want to say to you that we ought to be rejoicing this morning. The shepherd got up, left the 99 in the wilderness, and went out to find that one little lost sheep that was out there lost, didn't know his way back into the fold. And I'm telling you that, hey, if he had been left out there to himself, had not the shepherd went after him, he would have forever been lost. And neighbor, had Jesus not have come to where you were and found you where you were, you would have forever been lost. I'm saying, I don't know one sinner that's got the power to lift himself up by his own bootstrap or has got the grace and the understanding and the knowledge to make his way to heaven. You're not going to get there. If Jesus does not come to where a sinner's at, He will forever be lost. And the sad part of it is, if he is forever lost and remains that way, he will forever be damned in hell without God and without hope. And I'm telling you, that is a sad commentary. And neighbors, I'm seeing church members all over the world. Everywhere I go, I see people that are in the house of God that claim to be saved, that have found the way. But I'm telling you, by their own fruit, they're telling me and revealing to me, they don't know the way. They're not in Christ. They're still blundering around in the wilderness trying to find their way home, and they'll never find it because the shepherd has never come to them and delivered them from their sin. Amen. And if he doesn't, you will forever blunder in that darkness. Abide in darkness and in death, and you'll never find your way if Jesus doesn't come to where you were. I thought about that man at the pool of Bethesda. There he'd laid for 38 years at that pool. And one day Jesus finally passed by. And he looked at that man and asked him how long he'd been in that estate. And he said, 38 years. And the Lord asked him, said, well, would you be made whole? And he said, Lord, said, every time the water is troubled, and said, before I can get into that water, said, another one steps in before me and is made whole. And Jesus asked him, said, will thou be made whole? And right there on the spot, when he could not get to Christ, Christ came to where he was.
Amen.
And lifted him out of his sins and birthed him into the family of God. You know, we could go on and on. Little Zacchaeus up in that tree, had the Lord never passed by Jericho, he may have still been sitting in that tree today. Had Bartimaeus sitting by the roadside begging, had Jesus not went out and left the 99 and went out looking for him, he had still been lost and in his sin. And neighbor, I don't know where you were, but I'm telling you, had Jesus not left the 99 and came to where you were, you'd yet be in your sin also and on your way to a Christless eternity for all time and eternity. Say amen right there.
Amen.
Now I want to say secondly, not only was that little old lamb lost, but I believe I can say he was lonely. He had left the 99 and had went astray. It doesn't say one thing about anybody at all being out there with him. He had no companion. He had no fellowship. And you know, and I thought about this, I thought, maybe he even at times in his heart, that little lamb thought, boy, I sure wish I had another little lamb out here with me. I wish I had some company. I mean, I wish I could find a friend. I'm going to tell you, lost people think they got friends. But I'm going to tell you something. Somebody that will lead you into sin and help you in your sin, they're not your friend, ladies and gentlemen. A friend is somebody that will help bring you out of your sin. That little old lamb was a lonely little fella. Boy, I remember when I was lost and in sin, I'm telling you, I thought I had friends galore. But I'm going to tell you, I soon found out I didn't have near as many friends as I thought I had. I was just one lone duck in this world. That's all it was. And that's all you were. And at times I got so lonely in my heart, something that I longed for, something in my soul that I craved, something that I desired, something was missing, something was wrong, something I needed. Now I'm telling you, mama couldn't help me and daddy couldn't help me. My wife couldn't help me. Nobody could help me. But on that Sunday morning, Jesus came to where I was, and thank God he found that one little lamb that had went astray. I'm glad he left the fold for this one little lamb and found me where I was in my sin and brought me out of it all the way to the Father's house. And now I've been made myself at home since that day at the Father's house, and I'm rejoicing in it. Amen. I was lonely. That little lamb had nobody. Not no one but himself. Now you may think you got some friends. But I'm telling you, if you're sinning with them, they're not your friend. Or if they're teaching you how to sin, they're not your friend. You realize the wages of sin is death? People today haven't got a hold of that, Brother Steve. I don't believe they know it. That the wages of sin is death. Wouldn't it be terrible to work all of your life and get your paycheck and open it up, unfold it, and it said death? What if these folks at work here They went in there on Friday, and Miss Ruth handed them their check. They opened it up, and it said the amount they were going to receive is death. Well, that'd be a bad paycheck, wouldn't it? But the wages of sin is death. I'd hate to work all my life just to die. And that's not talking about a physical death. That's talking about a spiritual death. That's talking about the second death. It's appointed unto man once to die. But I'm going to tell you, there's a second death where men that are cast into the lake of fire that will be there forever and ever. Oh, yeah. It's appointed unto man once to die. You don't have to die that second time. The shepherd is out in the wilderness. And he's hunting you this morning. In fact, I got a feeling he's on some of you's trail right now. He's smelling some of you out right now. I believe the high sheriff of heaven is on some of you's trail right now. And maybe getting ready to put you in a corner or up a tree where you can't get away from him. You're going to have to humble your heart and your life before him and say, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. And I'm glad, thank God, you came to where I was and shined the glorious light of the Son of God upon my soul and liberated me from the darkness and death that I was living in and transformed me into a child of Almighty God. Amen. So I say that little lamb was lost. And I won't say that little lamb was lonely. I won't say number three. That little lamb was loved. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad Jesus loves me. We sang that song, Jesus loves even me. Amen. I'm so glad. We quote John 3:16 and don't even know, for God so loved. For God so loved. We read Romans 5:8, God commendeth his love toward us. Amen. In that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for the ungodly. Get a hold of this now. That little old lamb is loved so much that the shepherd left the 99 there in the wilderness and went out looking for him. I said that to say this. That one little lamb. Folks, sinners are getting saved. They're personal. They're precious. They're personal to the Lord. He went after that one little sinner. Aren't you glad it didn't have? Hey, he didn't ignore the one for the 99. Aren't you glad of that? You can say amen to that this morning if you can get a hold of that. He didn't ignore that one little old lamb out there lost and without God. He loved that little old lamb. He left the 99, and the shepherd sought him. He went out looking for him. It says so that he went out and sought him, and it said. He said he'd go, and he, in verse number 4 it said, and go out after that which is lost. So he went out, he sought him, went out looking for him. And then, I won't say not only did he loved him so much that he sought him, that he loved him so much also that the shepherd found him. The Bible said that he looked until he found him. Until he found him. He didn't give up. He didn't give up. People got the idea today that they're so far out in sin. Amen. That God's given up on them. And I believe we've even got some folks saved got the idea of God giving up on them. But I'm going to tell you, when Jesus gets on your trail, friend, you can call me whatever you want to call me. But I'm going to tell you, he's going to get you in a place where you are going to say yay or nay, one of the two. And hey, when he does, you better be careful. A nay may be eternity in hell. He doesn't have to pass by your way once, much less twice. God's not obligated. That shepherd wasn't obligated. I don't know anybody that obligated him to go out and seek that one little lamb. He did it out of a heart full of love. He loved that one. Do you know that Christ loved you this morning? He loved you just like you are this morning. He'll take you just as you are. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come. And I'm going to tell you, He will. He sought him. And then he found him. Now that lamb was personal. And it was special to him. Because he left the 99 and went out looking for him. And I want to say that one more time. That you're special to the Lord. Amen. You may not believe that, but I'm preaching it to you. You're special and you're precious. You are so precious that God gave the most precious thing that he had for you. That was his own son. I marvel at that. When I survey the wondrous cross upon which the Prince of Glory died, I've got to turn my thoughts inward and look at my heart. How sinful it is. How darkened with sin and black and filthy and vile and wretched that I man that I am. Oh, but he yet loves me enough. And I'm precious to him and special to him. He loved me so much that he went up Calvary's Hill and there suffered. Suffered all alone and took upon him all of my sin. Not only did he take upon him all of our sin, but he took upon himself all of God's wrath that was intended for us. Oh, we've escaped the very wrath of God. And friend, we're not talking about wrath. I'm talking about hell and what follows. We've escaped that. Christ took that upon himself for you and I. Oh, yes, he loves us. Then I want to say that the shepherd, he knows the way home. The Bible said, and when he cometh home, it said there in verse number 6, that he found his friends and neighbors and said, come and rejoice with me. For he said, I found that little sheep that was lost. I finally found him. So he knows the way. The Bible said, John 14:6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way. Then I want to say the shepherd's heart, it rejoiced when it finds just one little old sinner. It said in verse 5, when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Boy, that ought to put you and I to shame. Come on, help me. There Jesus is, left the 99 in the wilderness, went out looking for that one little sheep that had went astray. The shepherd did. And when he found him, he laid him on his shoulders and began to rejoice because he found him. And he went to the neighbors. When he went home, he said, rejoice with me. I wonder today, I'm not going to say it that way. If the Lord himself rejoices over a sinner that gets saved, bless God, why can't you and I rejoice over a sinner that gets saved by the grace of God? Not when somebody gets saved in our churches, we'd sit around like a bunch of mummies. We act like it's somebody died rather than somebody just got delivered from hell. And there Jesus is rejoicing in his own heart. Can you go back to the day you got in? If you can, you can say to yourself that when you got in, Jesus rejoiced in his heart. How much more should you and I, oh yeah, get happy about it. Get stirred up a little bit about it. People are hard to stir today when it comes to getting sinners saved. Really, I'm telling you the truth, they really are. They're hard to get stirred. Hard to be made happy when one old sinner gets saved by the good grace of God. And so the Lord, he rejoiced. I won't say fourthly, not only was the lamb lost and the lamb was lonely and the lamb was loved, but I won't say the lamb was located. Located. Now somebody, you know, in our text, it doesn't say where that lamb was at. It just says the Lord left the 99 in the wilderness. I'm going to try to give you something here that God give me. It just says he left the 99 in the wilderness and went out looking for that one little lamb. Now, I've got to come to this conclusion. If the 99 was left in the wilderness, then surely that one strayed from the 99. And this is my thought. If he strayed from the 99 that were in the wilderness, then surely he's still out there in the wilderness somewhere himself. But there's a problem. He is out there in the wilderness and he has got so entangled in the wilderness that he is lost and cannot find his way back to the fold. And I'm going to say that's exactly what sinners are. They get out in the world, in the wilderness, and they get entangled in sin to the degree, now I'm telling you, friend, the more they wrestle, it's like quicksand. The more they try to labor themselves, the deeper they get in sin and iniquity, till they find themselves utterly impossible to help themselves. Now I'm going to tell you, when you finally get that way, you're a good candidate to cry out to God for salvation.
Amen.
Yes, sir, I'm going to tell you. People today are getting deeper and deeper into sin. It's like Brother C said in Sunday school, and he was exactly right. I've never in my life seen Baptists the way they are today. But brother, they're deeper and deeper into sin and entangled in sin. And so is this world. That's right. They had a vacation Bible school at Berea. And that's where Ben Nanji goes to church, where we went to vacation Bible school with the kids. And the fellow that was teaching vacation Bible school, he was preaching to them kids. And he said, now I'm going to do something now. Of course, he had a screen, and he said, I'm going to do something. He said, I don't want you all to think bad about me on this. He said, I'm going to show you a picture. He said, in fact, he said, I'm going to show you a picture of some women in bathing suits. He said, now, I don't want to offend nobody. But he said, I'm going to show you how they look in bathing suits. I want to show you how women look in bathing suits. And I thought, oh, Lord, no, surely not. The man hit that little button on him, and on that screen, he said, here's what bathing suits look like in 1882. And when he punched that little button, there stood five women, and they were clad from here to here. He said, ladies and gentlemen, that is not their street attire. That is their bathing suits. We've come a long way, ain't we, baby?
Amen.
Virginia Slim, we've come a long way.
Amen.
We have come from covering up everything to covering up nothing. And there's a big difference in covering up everything and in covering up nothing. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that we're getting more and more and more entangled in the wilderness in the world than what we really believe that we are. And well, us Baptists, most Baptist preachers wouldn't open their mouth and say anything about it because they're scared to death of a paycheck. I'm not worried about mine. That's why I'm not ready to light in and get back to preaching against a little bit of sin anymore. I'm telling you, you can't go anywhere without a woman hanging her breath out and tattoos all over their body. Come on, say, you might as well say amen. I mean, you can go to church, you can go to Walmart. You can see as much in most churches as what you see at Walmart. You can see as much in some churches as what you see down on the beach, Brother Troy. I've never seen anything like it in all my life.
Amen.
I see women in churches out there trying to turn, and then you got to turn back because it's embarrassing to look at them. But they think it's cool. I'm going to tell you what I think it is. Sin! And it ain't no different with men. Somebody said, oh, it's different with men. Well, you young fellas want to run around with your shirts off? Now, don't get mad at me when I say this. Don't get mad. Come on now. I'm talking about Jesus finding sinners. You're going to have to realize you're a sinner before he finds you. But I'm going to tell you something. These men that peel off their shirts and show their tops, it ain't no different. A man, there's no different for a woman to show hers than it is for a man to show his. Somebody said, well, Brother Hall, it's a lot different. What's different about it? Size? Same thing. Same part of the body. Same anatomy of the body. It goes two ways, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm telling you, we've brought so much world into the house of God. It's not a place to let the world in. It's a place to come and keep the world out. And it's also a place to come and keep the world out of our lives. If Christ has brought one out into the wilderness, amen. If God sought this one little lamb and found that little lamb in the wilderness and brought him out of the wilderness, pray God tell me why would a real saved person ever want to go back?
Amen.
If God's brought you out of Egypt, why would you ever want to go back to Egypt?
Amen.
If God's brought you out of the slime pits and the flesh pots, why would you ever want to go back to the slime pits and the flesh pots?
Amen.
I believe people have really been brought out, have no desire to go back.
Amen.
They're not going back.
Right.
They know the difference between the two. And folks, there's so much more difference. Oh man, I'm telling you, I can imagine when that little old lamb was entangled out there in the world, I can just see him now, that little heart palpitating, trying to find some way to get out and get loose and find his way. And everywhere he'd go was just like a dead end, and he could try this way and he couldn't go, and this way and he couldn't go. And that little old heart was just a palpitating. But oh, I'm going to tell you, when he saw the good shepherd, things began to pick up. And that palpitating heart began to slow down. Her pace began to slow down. Oh, it was probably out of rhythm. I'm saying he probably had missed a few heartbeats along in there. But I'm going to tell you, when the shepherd found him, that little old shepherd, that heart quit beating real fast. The fear that he had in his soul began to go and leave him, depart from him. Amen. I'm going to tell you, the fear turned into joy. That joy turned into happiness when he realized that Jesus had found him. Hey, and he was troubled on every hand, but when Jesus found him, he realized he had found some rest. He no longer had to go this way and that way. Hey, for the shepherd just reached down and picked him up and laid him right up in his shoulder. He didn't have to. And by the way, I don't see in there where it says he struggled. Now that'll get some of you. Oh, we get on the altar and we carry on, you know, and we weep, and some people do, and weep and wail and gnashing of teeth and one thing or another. But I'm going to tell you, when he found that sheep did not fight him one moment. When he picked him up, he was grateful. He was so happy to be found. So happy to find rest. So happy to find peace. That I'm sure that the Lord was rejoicing. And I can't help but to believe the Lord was rejoicing. I believe that little old lamb was rejoicing right along with the Lord. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
He laid him on his shoulder. And I can't help but to think that little old lamb, when he laid down on his shoulder, I can do this to my wife. That little old lamb, Jesus picked him up and he laid that head over on his shoulder. He said, I'm so glad you found me. I was so lonely, cold and weary. Couldn't find my way. I was lost, tired and worn. And I'm glad you came along to where I was and found me. I was entangled in this sin, and I'd go that way and I couldn't find a way, and I tried this way and it was the wrong way, and this way and it was the wrong way, and this way and it was the wrong way. But I'm glad the way came and showed me the right way. And the right way led me out. Jesus located that little fella. And he located it in the wilderness. Now I've got one more little point and I'm done. Not only was that little old sheep, was he lost? And he was lonely. He was loved. He was located. But I won't say when he was located, there was also laudation in heaven.
Amen.
Somebody said, preacher, what do you mean? Well, the Bible said when he cometh home, that is, and that shepherd come home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Heaven began to laud the Lord Jesus for finding that sheep. You know something? I'm afraid we've got a real problem with that today. Maybe heaven began to rejoice. When he brought it home, he called the people and his neighbors and said, come and rejoice with me, for I found that little sheep. I'm going to tell you something, folks. We act like it's no big deal. We act like it's no great thing or no big deal when a sinner gets saved. But I'm telling you, it's the greatest transaction the world has ever known. Because it took the worth of heaven, the value of heaven, to save you. God's only Son. He that knew no sin was made to be sin for us. And I'm going to tell you, when Jesus found it, heaven began to clap. They began to sing. They began to rejoice. Now, they was rejoicing over the Lamb, but I'm going to tell you something. I believe they were rejoicing just as much over the fact that the shepherd found him. That's why the shepherd came into the world, to save sinners. And I believe they were rejoicing saying he'd done it again. Hallelujah, he done went and done it again. That morning when he passed by where I was. That wasn't the angels. The angels know nothing about rejoicing. They know nothing about, rather, they know nothing about salvation. They don't know what it, they don't know how it feels. They don't know what it means to be redeemed. They were never given the opportunity to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So who is that crowd that's rejoicing? It must be, according to Paul in the book of Hebrews, that great cloud of witnesses that's going on before us. They're looking over the battlements of heaven. And when that little lost sheep got in, it may, that little lost sheep, mom and daddy may have been up there hollering, "Glory, son!"
Amen.
His wife may have been waiting up there. The husband may have been up there. The husband may have been up there saying, "I told you I'd be waiting at the river for you." They were rejoicing. When he got home, he said, "Let's rejoice." I believe he's talking about the church there. When he got home, he said, "Let's rejoice over this one that was lost and found." Are you that little lamb that the shepherd left the flock for? Don't forget now, he left 99 of them over here just to find you. Just to come after you. He left 99 just to come after you. You know, 99 is not a complete number. 100 is a complete number. Now I'm going to throw this one out at you. I believe that little 100 sheep represents the full fold. I believe it represents the last little lamb that's going to get in. Come on now. I believe that's why there was so much rejoicing. When that last one gets in, I believe we're going up. You think God's going, why would He leave us here? We'd have no purpose in being here. When that last little lamb gets into the fold, you better have your seatbelt unbuckled, honey, because we're getting ready to take a flight without our airplane. That's why they're rejoicing. That's why they're rejoicing. It's over. The journey's ended. The trouble is past. No more tears. No more lonely days and weary days and lonely nights. No more troubles and trials and tribulations. No more heartache. No more heartbreak. No more sickness. No more death. No more pain. All past and gone. You know, and the sad part of it is, while we're up there rejoicing, those that are lost will be in hell. And I want to remind you this morning again that when they die and go to hell, they'll never see another sunrise. They'll never see another sunset. They'll never smell another apple blossom. They'll never smell another rose. We've got honeysuckles all around our house. You can smell them strong also. They'll never smell another honeysuckle rose, never again. They'll be in outer darkness. Lost forever. While we're enjoying heaven. Why would you sit there today lost and not come to Him? You know what He's doing? He's in here this morning. He's probably walking up and down these pews, speaking to hearts. He's probably already told some of you, you know good and well that you're not saved. All you may be in baptizing, maybe putting on a good front, but really, you've got the preacher fooled, but you ain't got me fooled. I know your heart. He may be walking up and down these aisles this morning, confused, talking to you individually. I wonder if he would find one this morning. Just one. That's all he found that day was just one. I wonder if he just found that one at Island Ford this morning. Let's stand together.